Blog Talk Radio.
One another burdens, and then also we are to triumph
and I bless him as well. So I will want you to go with me. We're going to go in prayer and acknowledge our Father, God, and Savior. In all that we do, we want to acknowledge God, because God is the reason that we are in existence on tonight. So I never want to fail to mention Jesus at every single sermon that I represent. And so if you will, all our beautiful people out there in the radio, digital podcast land, all my friends, all my extended church family, all my kinship family, all of you that are supporters of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I am telling the divine word of truth. I am asking you, my loyal and faithful listeners, to bow your heads as we go down in prayer. Father God, hallelujah, we come with a grateful heart on your sovereignty and your love unmeasured on tonight. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for assembling us together in unity once again around this spectrum, coming together as pilgrims, God. For we know that this home, this place is not our home. Like I said on last evening, this is just a holdover. For you have a land over there in the rolling hills of glory for those of us that love you and that are living according to your word. So God, I thank you for allowing us together, hallelujah, in unity once again around this spectrum, as I said just a minute ago, coming together as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their sins, God. Lord, I'm asking you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. Father God, I'm asking you these prayer petitions and there are the prayer petitions that I present before your grace, God, and at your feet. These and other blessings I ask in Jesus' spotless righteous name, I pray. And we shall all, as unity children of God, shall say amen and amen. And I hope and pray that you had a just fantastic day on today. I hope you had just a stress-free day on today, and that all was well in your family circle. And I just would love for you that will to get your Bibles out, and we're going to go on into our program on tonight. And I see we're coming back from last night, because we're just beginning to get into our new theme that I got in just a short piece of that sermon last night, and it was hidden problems plus hidden faith. And so we're going to go right on back and try to catch in and combine what we were talking about last night onto tonight's program. And I ask you to just get close to your radio dial, get comfortable, and let's enjoy the divine word of truth on this evening. And so we know that Christ visited the wedding feast at Canaan and also at a funeral. And we know that we are consoled by the immortal words of Christ. Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. And I said, no wonder so many people feel that simple being born in a Christian country and into a church-going family is sufficient to make them Christians. However, I come to let you know that mere contact with the symbol of Christian does not necessarily bring about the personal relationship with Christ. That is vital if one is to know him in a saving way. First of all, there must be that touch with the finger of faith. And we know that Jesus himself touched many folks. He touched the leper, the dumb man, Peter's mother-in-law, been cut off, but on this occasion, it was the person in need who reached out and made contact. This touch affected both Jesus and the woman. As he felt power going out of her, hallelujah, she was immediately healed. If the crowd had noticed this, they would have been angry. And we know that religious people would criticize her actions, since her unclean state could have contaminated another simply by touch. Her inner faith in the Lord had given her an immediate cure. Yet she did not want to be seen by anyone. Her faith had been as hidden as her problem. But when she touched Christ, she found that neither was hidden after all. Christ has the power to heal, and God knows all the details of our lives. In museums, I've often seen plates and pictures inscribed with the word, "By God, seeth me." We find out that these biblical words are both a comfort and a challenge. God knows the thoughts and actions of the secret recess of our minds and bodies. Our problems are never hidden from him. There was nothing particularly mystical about the hem or border of Jesus' garment. But there is plenty of symbolic presence here. We notice that the hem of the garment is, number one, the finished part, and that was the part on the cross where Jesus triumphantly cried out, "It is finished." Hallelujah. It is finished. He had accomplished the great work of paying for the world's sin. He had been born to die. The completed hymn signified the finished work, a price on the cross. Number two, the purest part. A needle pierced a garment to toil and hold up his hymn. This reminds us that the crucified Christ was pierced. Hallelujah. A crown of thorns was wedged upon his brow. It was rough and it was rugged. And we know that the Roman's nails pierced his hands and his feet. A visionary sword pierced Christ's side. However, the cross will never be understood without grasping its hidden work. The fact that our sins pierced the very soul of Jesus, hallelujah. Sins have always been abhorrent to God. Jesus, the pure and holy Son of God, hated sin. On the cross, God took the sins we have forgotten and those we wish we could forget. The sins of the past, the present and the future. The sins we love and those for which we hate ourselves, and laid them all on the Lord Jesus. How this hurts. Like a dagger. Sin pierced his heart and soul. He would have recoiled from sin, but love held him there. As sin battered and bruised, the clean-minded, purely-spoken, and holy life of Christ, the vital part, just as the hem is vital to a garment, wholeness, so is the cross of Christ. Hallelujah. To our Jesus spoke of the hour to come when he would die. So vital was the death that the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I determined not to know," hallelujah, "anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." We read that in the law of 1 Corinthians 2:2. I'd like to know, what is your view of Christ and the importance of the cross? Your answer will reveal your standing before God and your eternal destiny. The part touched holy by bending, stooping, as she made her way to Christ. We find out that this woman pictures the humble, burning attitude of those who trust the Savior. "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Hallelujah, Jesus. The only thing we contribute to our salvation is a load of sin. It is only when we realize that our state is destined that we can come as submission to Jesus, plead forgiveness for the one who delights to pardon and cleanse. Arrogance and pride have no place in the individual who would willingly bow heart and head before the mighty King Jesus, who would willingly crush by our sins. Hallelujah. Jesus said to the woman, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. We find out that such blessings were bestowed, although she had come to him with selfish motives. All she wanted was healing. There is no hint of devotion to Jesus or desire to make his name known to others. For so many who come to Christ, the dormant motive may initially not be altogether worthy. We find out that the drunkard simply wants to be sober. The lonely husband needs a new start in his family. The sinner wants to avoid spending eternal in hell. So they turn to Jesus. Is that wrong, you might ask? I do not think so. We know that a newborn baby is a ball of constant needs. It grows hungry or thirsty. It gets dirty or it cries. It loves no one until that love is gradually awakened by the one who fathers it and meets its needs. At first, the baby cries and purely selfish, but in time, usefulness, devotion, shown by the parent, hallelujah, become an example for the child and is returned in full measure. Hallelujah, Jesus. We find out that a newborn Christian may not necessarily love the Savior at first, but as that believers learn to walk with Jesus Christ and cultivate the relationship, love for the Lord will strengthen and grow. God commanded us to repent, and whatever our motives, our feelings, our fears, all people everywhere need to obey that command and open their hearts to Christ. Eventually, his perfect love for each individual draws a warm love by way of response. We know that no problem is hidden to Christ, nor is a sincere faith, but Christ wants his faith brought into the open, just as when he turned to the crowd and asked, who touched me? Hallelujah. It was good for this woman, as well as the people around her. Faith in her cure became known. It was public confession of faith. Hallelujah. In the Lord Jesus is a great impact. Jesus said, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes into his own glory. Hallelujah. And his fathers and of the holy angels. We read that in the Luke of 9 and 26. Hallelujah. We know that the expressions deepen and impression. Secret discipleship is a contradiction of terms. At first, everyone denied touching Christ's garment, but eventually, through trembling, the woman declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him. Christ brought her into the open because he himself offered an open door to salvation. We read of his word that this thing was not done in a corner. We read in the law of Acts 26 and 26, and Jesus himself said, I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple. That's in the law of Matthew 26 and 55. We find out that Christ's birth was open. Hallelujah. And we know that angels announced the event that the shepherd and a star led the wise men to leave their land and come to worship Christ, Jesus. Teaching was open. Thousands heard him. And there was nothing secret about what he said. Nor were there secret handshakes or ceremony. His miracles were open and seen by many. Furthermore, Jesus was always available and ready to be questioned by the religious establishment and for the common people to hear him. Even Christ's death was open for all to see. He was suspended between heaven and hell for all of earth to gaze on. Only, hallelujah, we know to let Christ out, but to let the world look in. Having boldly risen, Christ, Jesus, appeared to the woman. The two men walking on the road to Emmaus, to the two and then 10 and then the 11 disciples, as well as a crowd of over 5,000. He is the open Christ. Those who would truly come to the Savior must do openly. And I want to let you know, you that are out there in my digital listening audience on tonight, today, will you bring your hidden and innermost needs and sins to the Christ who gave himself for you? Will you openly trust him and find out for yourself that faith in him makes you right with God? And in ending, hallelujah, I hope and I pray that I've said something, hallelujah, to demagnetize your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God go in you. Bye for now. And if you would like to send any prayer requests to the Old Ship of Zion, you can send your remittance to the Old Ship of Zion in care of Senior Pastor Janice Ward. If you have any email correspondence, if this program has been a blessing with your walk with God, I would love to hear from you. You can submit your comments and your response to email janiceallaboutgod@yahoo.com. May God bless you, you and you and you. Until we meet again, you go in God as God.